Welcome to The Word Made Plain with Senior Pastor Tony Clark of Calvary Chapel Newport News in Virginia. Currently, Pastor Tony is teaching a study in the book of Mark. Please open your Bible to Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 44.
The word new in the Greek is epignosko, and that word means that they recognized him. They knew him by recognition. They knew who he was, and they saw them leaving, and they took off and ran ahead of them. Now, the amazing thing about that is that the disciples went away to get away and rest, get something to eat, went to a deserted place. And so the people saw them, and they ran ahead of them. So when they got there, they're like, hello, you thought you were getting away from us. Here we are. Surely Jesus and the disciples, because I know if I was there, I would have been like, oh, my word. Surely they were ticked off when they saw this crowd. Look at verse 34. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep, not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. Jesus wasn't ticked off at the people. He was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep, not having a shepherd. See, sheep without a shepherd is not a good thing because a shepherd provides a few things for sheep. It provides guidance, it provides protection and nourishment to the sheep under his care. So sheep without a shepherd, they're defenseless against the wolves. A sheep without a shepherd wanders around aimlessly without guidance and direction. A sheep without a shepherd can go hungry and will feed on things that's not good for them. This is why sheep need a shepherd. And I believe that I just described many of you here today. Because you have not made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, or you haven't made him the good shepherd of your life. And you're like sheep without a shepherd. You lack guidance in your life. And this is why you go from job to job and from career to career, looking for satisfaction. You lack protection, and you keep get beat up by relationships and life itself. You're hungry. Nothing seems to satisfy you. Why? Because you're a sheep without a shepherd. But how does Jesus feel about you? He is moved with compassion for you. He is not angry with you, nor is he upset. He is moved with compassion for you. Now, what did Jesus do for them? Notice how the second part of verse 34 says, he began to teach them many things. See, they needed to be taught by Jesus how to set their lives in order. This is why you've heard me say many times, I believe the greatest need of the church is to be taught. The greatest need is teaching. We have heard, and many of you have come out of, and this is why many of you come here to our church. Because many of us, we've heard enough shouting, yelling and hollering from the pulpit. People today need to be taught how to straighten their messed up lives out. So here is Jesus teaching them many things. And may we continue as a church to do that here. To teach you many things from Genesis to Revelation. To teach you all that God has to say to you in and through his word. Look what he says there in verses 35 and 36. It says, then the day was now far spent. His disciples came to him and said, this is a deserted place and already the hour is late. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. Now, it is at the end of the day. Remember, originally they came there to get away and to rest and to get something to eat. But because of this crowd, now it's at the end of the day. And now I believe the disciples were a little annoyed. They were a little irritated when they said to Jesus in verse 35, this is a deserted place and already late. Send these people away that they may get something to eat. And so we can get something to eat too. We're hungry. This amazes me because the same crowd that moved Jesus to compassion is the same crowd that irritated the disciples. When you see crowds, how do you feel? Especially talking to you here at second service. when you see the crowds in the parking lot and the crowds flowing in and the crowds flowing out and the cars and this and moving and that, I'm saying stop and letting this car go in there. How do you feel when you see the crowd? Do you feel compassion like Jesus or irritated like the disciples? I will admit to you that there are times by which I am like Jesus. I see crowds of people and I always wonder, I'm like, you know, Lord, how many of them know you? And I look, how many of them are really walking with you? And Lord, how many of these people here are sheep without a shepherd? And sometimes I'm moved with compassion when I see the crowd. There are other times that I'm irritated. Go to the mall and that's slow walking. Oh, you got two moms with strollers, you know, and they're talking to each other in the stroller. I'm like, trying to get around them and I'm ticked off. Get out of the way. And sometimes I'm ticked. I'm irritated at that, at the crowd and folks and slow walking and carrying on and, you know, and sometimes I'm irritated. And, you know, my prayer, my desire is that I'm more like Jesus. There's time I am and I feel compassion. There's times that, you know, I'm a little upset, a little irritated when I see the crowd of folks. And may we be more like Jesus in this area and have compassion. So when the disciples suggested that Jesus send the multitudes away, what did Jesus say to them? Look at verses 37 and 38. But he answered and said to them, you give them something to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat? But he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Now, Jesus told his disciples, you give them something to eat. So when they saw the 5,000 men, counting women and children, there were around 15 to 20,000 people. The disciples did what we so often do when Jesus asked us to do something we think is impossible. And made excuses. In verse 37, shall we go and buy 200 days salary worth of bread to feed this multitude? See, one denarii is one day's wages. So 200 denarii will be 200 days salary. I want you to notice how Jesus doesn't accept our excuses in verse 35 when he said, but what is it that you do have? Today, too many people give God excuses for why they can't do what he is asking them to do. We give excuses for why we can't give financially. We give excuses for why we can't serve in some ministry. We give excuses for why we can't come to church. We give excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse. But notice how Jesus didn't accept their excuse. He responded by saying, what is it that you do have? And they said, 5 loaves and 2 fish. And I want you to notice how Jesus will take what little we do have and do great things with it. Look at verses 39 to 41. It says, then he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in ranks and in hundreds and in fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves, and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave it to the disciples and set it before them. And the 2 fish he divided among them all. See, we see the organizational skills of Jesus here in verses 39 and 40. He had them sit down in groups of hundreds and in fifties in the green grass. It reminds me of what is said in Psalm 23, verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Oh, what a great shepherd we have. He makes us lie down in green pastures. I love that because the purpose as we are laying down in green pastures, he wants to feed us. He wants to nurture us. He wants to heal those wounds that we receive by going through life. So he makes us lie down in green pastures. Notice sometimes he has to make us lie down because he knows we won't lie down on our own. because we're so busy with life and with stuff going on, and we make our excuses for why we can't do this for God, come to church, serve in the ministry. We make all these excuses and we're like, I don't have time. I don't have time to serve. I got this going on. I don't have time to sit down and nurture because we have this. I don't have time. I don't have time. I don't have time. I don't have time. And so God said, I'm going to give you a little time. I'm going to make you lie down. But notice it's in green pastures. He's not going to make us lie down to say, I'm going to teach you a lesson. I'm going to make you lie down because I know how you need to be fed by me. I know how you need to be nurtured by me. I know how you need to be healed from that wound you received from that last relationship. And I know if I continue to let you go through life in that condition, you won't be a blessing to folks. You'll hurt people because you're wounded. And so the Lord said, sometime I have to make you lie down. And sometime he does that, but it's in green pastures. And here it is. He has them sitting down in groups of 50s and in hundreds and in the green grass. I love that about our Lord. I love that. Now watch this. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up into heaven, he blessed and broke the loaves and gave it to the disciples, and the disciples gave it to the people. Notice that in between the blessing and the giving, there was the breaking. And you might be here saying to yourself, well, I don't have much and my talents and resources are limited, but that's okay. Because in the Lord's hands, a little goes a long way. And if you will let him just bless you and watch this and break you. When I think of that breaking process, I think of Mary in John chapter 12, who had an alabaster box and she anointed the feet of Jesus. But before the fragrance could flow, the box had to be broken. When I think of being broken, I think of Gideon. You remember in Judges chapter 6, whose 300 men, they took these torches and they put these clay pots over these torches. And so as they surrounded the enemy, the Midianites, the signal was given and they broke the clay pots and the light flooded out. Confused by the light, the Midianites were like, whoa, what's going on? The enemy is upon us. And they just started killing each other. Yo, that was you, you know. And the Israelites just sat back and were like, whoa, and they wiped out each other. The Midianites killed each other, but Israel got the victory once the clay pots were broken. And I have heard many people say, you know, I want to be used in ministry, but every time I try to get involved, my world crashes around me. What is going on? Why am I going through such difficulties and hardships? The answer is simple. You're being broken. You're being broken of your self-sufficiency. You're being broken of your pride. You're being broken of your self-reliance. And all these things need to be broken out of your life and my life before the fragrance can be released like Mary discovered. So the light can flow out like Gideon realized. See, only God can make something more valuable after breaking it. See, in our minds and in our world, something loses or diminishes in value once it is broken. But in God's kingdom, just the opposite takes place. He makes us more valuable after we are broken. And we see this happening here in our story. Once the 5 loaves and the fish were broken, he was able to multiply. And so to it, after you and I were broken, broken of those things that God sees will hinder the light from flowing, from hindering the fragrance from flowing. Once that is broken out of our lives, then he can multiply our lives. Like we see here with the 5 loaves and 2 fish. Look what he says there in verses 42 to 44. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fish. Now those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men. Once again, counting women and children, 15 to 20,000 people. Verse 42 says they all ate and were filled. The Greek word for filled is chortazo, and it means to gorge. It means to glutton. It means filled or satisfied. The Greeks used this word to describe an animal that was at the feeding trough, and he stayed at the feeding trough and ate and ate and ate till he wanted nothing more to eat. That's what that word means. My question for you is that where have you been feeding lately, looking for satisfaction? Are you going to the clubs and bars looking for someone to satisfy you? What about online? Are you looking for satisfaction there? My question is, you know, and this is for all of us for this one. Why is it that Jesus isn't enough? Why is it that we got to have someone or something else to try to bring us satisfaction? Jesus desires to feed us with himself to the point where we are chortazo, we are filled, we're gluttoned, we are satisfied with him. But we are so busy looking for a man, for a woman, for a job, for a position, for a rank to satisfy us. And when we get him or her or that position or that rank, we still find ourselves empty on the inside. The reason is we're looking for other things to do what only Jesus could do. And that's why we still find ourselves empty. Let us feed on Jesus and his word and watch and see how he will fill us. He will chortazo us, fill us to the point where we don't want anything else. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong if you're single, wanting to be married. There's nothing wrong with being in the military, wanting the next rank. There's nothing wrong. But see, here's the thing. If you're looking for those things to totally satisfy you, that's where you're going to come up empty. Because you're wanting these things and these people to do what only Jesus can do. And that's why you come up empty. You say, if I have them, if I just marry them, then that'll be it. Let me tell you something. That spouse cannot totally satisfy you. And those who are married ought to be saying amen to that. Because they realize no matter how good your wife is, no matter how good your husband is, he cannot totally satisfy you. You're asking them to do what only Jesus can do. The Bible said that we are complete in him. He's the only one that can bring that total satisfaction. It's great, like I said, to be single, to want to be married and all that sort of stuff, want the next rank, the next position. There's nothing wrong with those things. Those things, they have its place. But if you're looking for these things to satisfy you, to chortazo you, fill you to the point where you want nothing more, you will be disappointed because you're wanting these things to do what only Jesus can do. Notice how verse 43 says that they took up 12 baskets full of fragments or leftovers. When I first became a Christian, I read that. I said, "What did Jesus miscalculate? Did he look and say, oh, okay, we got about 20,000. Let me break this up. Boom, 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 boom. And then all of a sudden, you know, took up some leftovers. It was enough for about 24,000. Did he miscalculate? Did he, you know, what happened? No. Jesus is showing us what Ephesians 3:20 says that he can do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or even think or even imagine. Also, they took up 12 baskets of leftovers. Notice, so there will be no waste. You know, we're wasteful people. You understand that. We're wasteful. How often do we waste time on things that are not eternal? How often do we waste money on things of this earth, like during the holidays? We buy electronic gadgets and a new model comes out and we got to have that new one. I mean, you know, they got us. We are, you know, all of us are, we are one stick with a big lollipop. We are suckers. They got us. They got us good. You come out, you know, they come out with the iPhone 20. Whoa, we gotta have that one. Gotta have that one. Oh, then next thing you know, they come out with the I-21. Oh, I gotta have that. We're suckers. They got us. They know they got us hook, line, and sinker. And we waste and we just wait. And here's the one you just got. It's still new. You can still use it. But no, I want the new one. So we wasted on that one. And now we got to buy the new. We're going to buy the new one. The new one is a zillion dollars. Cause you know, that, cause it's still new, you know, and then by next month is down to $100, you know, but we wasted a zillion on it, you know, because they got us. We are suckers. And we waste and we buy clothes and shoes and oh, we gotta have that and gotta have that and that, all that. And we waste all this money. The next thing you know, the new model comes out. The new pair of clothes come out. The new pair of shoes. Then that stuff is old fashioned, but we keep it around. Cause see, either it's out of style or we can't fit it anymore, but we keep it around in hopes that we can fit it again. So we keep it in the closet. That's my motto. You know, I remember when I used to wear that. When did you wear that? Back in 19 something. Then by the time you get down where you can wear it, mostinated up, and it's just, I'm telling you, we are suckers. They got us, and they sit back. I can just see them sitting back in the executive office overlooking the city, their feet on the desk, a big cigar. We got them. Just come out with a new one. See, they already know what the next new thing out, and they know we are suckers to go get it. Gadget, new Kindle. Now, but now you can, now it turn the page for you. Now it can do this for you. Now, see, they won't put all the gadgets in at first. Cause they know the next one gonna have the next set of gadgets. And we are just suckers. And we waste time. We waste money. We all involved in it. We all suckers. I told you, we all lollipops. You know, I'm a charm, the one with the chewing gum on the inside. You know? That's me, you know. You know, you can't wait, you got bite, you know, you can't suck it, you got bite. That's me, I'm one of those. And they got us all. And we waste time watching hours of TV, watching movies and shows we've seen 100 times. I told you, I was zoned out yesterday. I can remember watching Braveheart. I think I was watching that. And it was watching me. I was watching it, and I was out. And we just waste time. For Jesus, there was no waste. There were some 12 left, though. He could easily just say, you know, that's just scraps. Let them out. No. Nope. He's not going to waste anything. Took up 12 baskets of leftovers. Let me conclude with this. Are you satisfied with Jesus today? Or are you pursuing other things and other people to satisfy you? That's a question you need to search your own heart with. Only Jesus can satisfy you to the point where you don't want anything or anyone else. Will you surrender your life to him today? Will you make him the good shepherd of your life? Or will you continue to try to be a sheep without a shepherd, thinking you can do it on your own? And you're going to keep getting beat up in life. You're going to keep going hungry, not being satisfied. And this is what a good shepherd provides, that guidance, that nourishment, that protection. He provides that. And Jesus will be a good shepherd for you. There are others who already discovered that Jesus is a good shepherd. But you know what? You bought into the lie of the enemy, and you were not satisfied with Jesus. And you began to pursue other things and other people. For you, you need to rededicate your life to him. Because as you're going out, because you believe the lie that Jesus wasn't enough, you going out and you know, you saw what it is out there. It's a hot mess out there. And people are a trip. You need to rededicate your life to him and allow him to be that good shepherd that he desires to be. No matter where you find yourself, his arms are open to accept you. Because how he feels about you, he's moved with compassion for you. He loves you and wants you to come under his care. Will you come, or will you continue to try to do it on your own? Will you continue to try to do things your way? You've seen what happens when you do things your way. You just make it worse. You can't compete out there with that mess. That's mess. You need a good shepherd that's going to navigate you through this life. And Jesus said, I'm that good shepherd. Are you going to come? And you can leave here having the good shepherd going before you, leading you to the greener pastures and the stiller waters. He can do that for your life if you surrender to him. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for being that good shepherd to us. You're so kind. You're so loving. You're so forgiving. Thank you so much, Lord, that even when we mess up, even when we get away from you, Lord, you know how to bring us back. And when we come back, Lord, you're not angry with us or upset. You move with compassion for us. Continue to have that compassion for us, Lord. We love you because you first loved us. Thank you for that love you have for us. So move in the midst of your people today. In Jesus' name, amen.
If the Word Made Plain has been a source of inspiration and encouragement to you, why not consider becoming a Word Made Plain giving partner to keep this listener-supported program on the air? As a giving partner, you join forces with Calvary Chapel Newport News' kingdom vision of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can make your tax-deductible gift online at calvarynn.org or send your gift of any amount to 15553 Warwick Boulevard, Newport News, Virginia 23608. And receive a gift from Calvary Chapel Newport News as our thank you. In addition to your financial support, we ask that you pray for the Word Made Plain broadcast, that it touches hearts and generates change in the lives of people around the world. We pray you've been blessed by God's Word today and hope you'll tune in next time to hear the Word Made Plain.